Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively at the end of March Madness for the Maryland perspective in the beginning of the baseball season. Luke and I are in Toronto, Canada. We'll be at Sky Dome this weekend. We'll be back at Camden Yards for Monday for full opening day coverage. And then on Wednesday, we'll be at Fadley's at Lexington Market. We will have scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery to give away. It's the second day of Oriole baseball, but a whole weekend ahead here. We'll be getting into the pitching and the hitting and all of that good stuff, and the Red Sox coming to town. But Luke, we didn't do a ton on Terps basketball this year. I don't think it's any secret that I have felt us to be a little outside the realm of all of that, but it comes inside the realm when they make a Sweet 16 run, when you and I are running around another country trying to find the game on TSN, TBS, CBS. Some of the S's, I don't know. But we did watch the game and it got away. But the story really isn't Derek Queen or I'm from Baltimore or Julian Reese or his sister being at the game. I mean, the story's just an integrity issue for me with college basketball and my fandom of it to say, I mean, look, I walked around Sky Dome on Thursday opening day and I ran into Terps fans, Orioles fans, and all of them were like, is Willard even going to coach the game? Is he going to coach the game in the Sweet 16? He didn't show up for dinner. I mean, it's a tragedy for the program what's happened in a year where they went to the Sweet 16. All eyes were on them Thursday night. There were various points in the game where they could have won the game. I mean, they didn't shoot the ball well. They certainly didn't rebound well. That's been an issue all along. But just as a guy that had Tom McMillan on 2 weeks ago, a guy that had Walt Williams on a week ago, a guy that's been with us since 1973, PU. To everybody down in College Park, and especially to Willard and this college basketball in general, we are feeling the brunt of the portal and of the NIL, and it really leads to a diminished version of what we used to love. That's all I'm going to say. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and all that.
Yeah, we went from a certain naivete as far as student athletes and amateurism and what players should be entitled to, considering how lucrative the business of college athletics, and more specifically, college basketball, football first, of course, but also college basketball. But we swung from that to what it's become, which is this wild, wild west. I mean, the transfer portal opened during the postseason, which is just absurd. I mean, same thing with bowl season with college football. And you think and bring it back to Maryland basketball specifically, you think back to, not even having to go back to Tom McMillan or Lefty Driesell or any of the teams of that era. Just look at the 02 national championship team that had Juan Dixon and Lonnie Baxter, two seniors, right?
You are going
And
back a quarter of a century here, dog. I know
I
it's tough.
am.
It's tough,
I
but
am.
yeah.
But you think about that team and the way it developed and grew, and it had the disappointment of the previous year in getting to the Final Four and losing to Duke despite having a big lead in the first half and all of that. There was a graduation process there. There was a development process there as a team, the growth that they went through together
Well, they called it
that.
a program. It was a program, right? It
That
was
it's
an
just,
ongoing thing, right?
there's just none of that anymore.
Well,
And
certainly not when your
now,
coach rolls out. I mean, this weekend, they have nothing. They are an empty cupboard all of a sudden, right? Like,
I mean, barring something strange here in the 11th hour, yeah, I mean, it's, there's very much a sense of where do you go from here? Assuming he's off to Villanova, which it seems that way, I don't have any.
I don't know how he could come back. I mean, as we sit here, he'll be gone by you'll send the WNST text, but I don't think he can come back. And he's the highest paid employee in the state. That's another issue. We sit and bitch about everything going on in Annapolis, about how much money this group's getting, that group's getting, what are we getting for this, the bridge, all the important things going on. This is the highest paid employee in the state of Maryland. I just want to point that out because that is mind-blowing. Some people don't even know that, but that's true.
And that's true in a lot of states where you're talking about
Especially the Red Wings when the football coaches come.
Although I'd say that I think that's college sports, right? I mean, big time head coaches in football and basketball are going to get a lot of money, a heck of a lot of money. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, it's reality. But I just think back to 2002, and they made it to the Sweet 16 in 2003. This is only the second time Maryland's made it to the Sweet 16 since then. And how enjoyable it felt like it was on Sunday night when Derek Queen hits the shot and they're going to the Sweet 16, and how that was just ruined by the reality that is college basketball and college sports in 2025. And I don't say that without acknowledging that, yeah, there are questions about Maryland's athletic department and what's going to happen with the AD, what's going to happen with the coach, what's going to happen with NIL. You have a school that is in the Big Ten that wants to maintain its place at the table as college football continues to evolve and these power conferences are what they are. And we're assuming we're going to see some kind of superpower conference at some point in time. So I understand that at least as much as I can as someone who's not covering it directly. But you just kind of look at this, and I think for a lot of people, and look, if you're a diehard Maryland alum, maybe not so, but I think for a lot of people, they're struggling with what this new reality is in college sports and just how much it's worth it, right? I mean, that the idea that college basketball, what it was in 2002, which is 23 years ago, but not 60 years ago either. The idea that building a team in that fashion is even a thing anymore, just, that's gone. And now it's a case of you better have a coach who's making a lot of money. He's got all the NIL resources that he needs, and he better be using the transfer portal. And, you're paying hired guns, and it's just a matter of you just try to reload year after year after year. There's no idea of recruiting someone like Derek Queen and expecting him to be there for more than that 1 year. And look, the idea of a one and done college basketball player is hardly new. We understand that. But it's just there's I don't want to call it icky because look, college athletes who generate revenue for their schools to the lucrative degree that we've seen in recent decades absolutely deserve their piece of the pie. So I'm not opposed to that. But this system that we have with so few guardrails, I do view it, and I say this more personally than anything, it absolutely has impacted my enjoyment of not just Maryland athletics, but more specifically, just college football and college basketball in general. I mean, I can think back to being 14 years old and sitting there with middle school buddies. I had one friend who was a Duke fan. Don't judge me on that. I had one friend who was a couple friends who were North Carolina fans, and we would sit there and we could name you the 10 deep roster for every single school in the ACC for basketball. I mean, that's what it was. You can't do that in this day and age because the rosters turn over as
Well,
much
they've
as they
done
do year to
everything
year.
they can do to make it less interesting, less engaging, less impactful, and they've added more games, more conferences, more teams. You're playing USC, but it is by far less interesting than it used to be in so many ways, and far less engaging over the course of a lifetime. You know, what they're doing here and now, this choppiness of here and now, offends old people like us who fund it, and then the students don't care either. You know, it's this is not an engaging thing for being the big man on campus. As a matter of fact, the exact opposite of that is true. And I'll give love to my friends over at Towson. I had Pat Scarry on a couple weeks ago talking about, hey, that's the kind of university there that's going to be able to bring kids in and keep them around for 3 or 4 years, and they're going to know Towson, and they're going to know the businesses and the Towson hot bagels that gives them free food and the CVP that has them around. There is going to be on smaller campuses and smaller, if you like college basketball and if you can be that kind of program, but there's a whole different level of money and intensity that's going to have to be involved if you're going to compete in any of the big money sports in college. That goes for basketball, football, wherever the money is. Wrestling at Penn State, for crying out loud. You know, whatever the big thing is, there's going to be have and have nots, and there's going to be, is this enjoyable if I wear the state flag U jersey wherever I am for whatever my sport is, male, female, whatever it is. And I do I feel vested and invested in it? Do I feel a part of it? And certainly the Kevin Willard thing in Maryland. I mean, going back to Len Bias and going back to kids dropping dead on the football fields and all the stuff that's going on and building new facilities and all the money that it's going to take. All that's been done, dude. And in the end, the football team sucks and is always going to suck, and no one's going to care about it. That's a fact. That's been going on my whole life. As long as the Commanders play on Sunday and the Ravens play on Sunday, they're not going to matter on Saturday. But college basketball, Maryland thinks it's a basketball school, acts like a basketball school, wants to fund football because it needs to. And this is all a part of playing at that higher level that Rutgers can't seem to get to. And these, the West Virginias are never going to get to as state schools. But it really is just going to be about rich people funding this, and that whatever they're funding, they're not funding loyalty with the
Right.
highest paid person in the state, who on the night before the biggest game of a generation doesn't even show up for his team dinner because his ass is out the door. He's a disgrace. I mean, I just like to allow all this to happen, and the portal opening this week, and the coaches all getting in on this at this time of the year. PU. It's gross.
Well, and I just look at it. Look, Kevin Willard, assuming he's and as someone's listening to our conversation, maybe it's even official at this point in time, but assuming he's going to Villanova, he's hardly the first coach that's done something like this. Let's be clear.
Oh, in the South, these football coaches have been running out on airplanes and lying to
I mean,
everybody for
Kevin Willard
25
did this
years.
to Seton Hall to come to Maryland, right? So let's have some, let's be self-aware on that front at the very least. But I just think the way that it was handled over the course of the week, it really hijacked the enjoyment of it all for everyone. How much his players cared, how much that distracted them, who knows? I mean, again, it's the culture now where it's not for long, right? It's
If he
NIL, but it
doesn't
feels
leave
like,
them, they'll leave him. That's the new
sure.
deal.
And
That's the new deal.
you wonder, I mean, who are these guys might be joining him at Villanova? Who knows? So, I mean, but it was a week that should have been so much more exciting and so much more fun, and it ended up not being because the Willard distraction just hung over all of it. And look, some of that's unavoidable in certain circumstances, but he could have handled this better. There's no question about that. And I don't look at first it felt like some refreshing honesty, but then as he's kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth, it's like, all right, man, we kind of see what you're doing at this point. But it's just disappointing because, again, you just said it a couple minutes ago. As much as Maryland athletic fans and Maryland basketball fans have branded themselves as a basketball school over the last few decades, has it really been, though? We're talking about two Sweet 16s in
It
over
is.
20
It's a
years.
women's basketball school, is what it
Well,
is. That's what
sure.
it is, right?
But I just, you just look at this, and now putting aside the disdain for Willard, because assuming he's going to be out the door, he's going to be out the door. And Villanova will become the new Duke for Maryland fans to root against. But where do you go from here? I mean, you don't have an athletic director. All of the issues that Kevin Willard brought up from an NIL perspective are real, right? I mean, I don't think he, I'm not saying there weren't points made that didn't have merit, but you have that. You're at a different place in the hiring cycle as the calendar's turning over to April. I mean, the big time coaches that moved, that shifted and are elsewhere, generally those are programs that fired their coach because they didn't make it to the NCAA tournament, or that and we're a couple weeks out from that at this point in time, without an AD. So you really, I think the biggest fear for Maryland fans at this point in time is not that there isn't a coach out there that you can hire that. Let's be clear. I mean, it's not like Kevin Willard's a two-time national championship-winning coach. I mean,
He's been to one Sweet 16.
I said to you, can you imagine how this might have, the perception of this changes if Derrick Queen's shot rims out at the buzzer against Colorado State and Maryland doesn't even make it to the Sweet 16? We're having a way different conversation from a perception
He beaten
standpoint.
Scrapple up in Villanova on Wednesday already, by
I
the
think you would have had many more. You probably would have had many more fans kind of shrug and say, "Good riddance, man. Your team choked." So there is some. I don't know if irony is the
Well,
right
they
word
didn't play
there,
well
but
on Thursday night. We haven't talked much about the game itself
yeah, I
because it's
mean,
like the game was overshadowed by the
Florida's better.
situation. Yeah.
Florida's better. I mean, Florida's the number one seed. And full disclosure, I didn't see any of the first half. As you know, I was leaving Rogers Center. I was meeting up with you to have some
Full
dinner. And
disclosure, I didn't see any of the first half either because TSN didn't have a
so,
game on in the beginning up here
but
again.
that was hardly a shocking result. So it's, but the fact that we're not even talking about that, the fact that we're not even putting a bow on what was a really enjoyable season. That's the shame of this, right? And that's where, again, we swung from the naivete that existed in collegiate athletics for the longest time, to what we are now, which is the wild, wild west. It feels very cynical. It feels very.
It doesn't feel like something I want to invest in, bro. That's really the truth.
And look, there are plenty of people that disagree with you on that, but
Well, then let them
I
put their money up. I mean, this is what we're going to talk a lot about this with the
No, but
Orioles right now.
I'm
Like,
just
where
saying.
are you putting your money? Where are you putting your time? Because they all
Understood,
need it. They
but my point
have to
is,
have our money. They do.
college basketball is not going to collapse. College football is not going to collapse under this new system. But what you are finding, and this year's NCAA tournament may be a great example of this. Who was the Cinderella this year? Look at who's playing in the Sweet 16. When you look at the seeding, there is no Cinderella. The team that was a 10 seed was Arkansas, a power conference team. That's not really a Cinderella. That's a power conference team that wasn't that good in their conference, but the SEC is great. And hey, they have a heck of a head coach. So I don't know. I just, you do wonder where it's heading. Again, it's not going to fall apart. TV will continue to be lucrative. The haves will continue to have a lot, but to your point, the have-nots, you kind of just look at the ecosystem, and it for me, I said this to you as we were sitting at an establishment and here in Toronto watching the final minutes of the game. It feels more and more like it's just minor league basketball, and college football is feeling more and more like it's just minor league football, and it always was, right? If we're being realistic about it, at least
Well, it was slave labor, as I pointed out to you,
for
for
a
the
large
kids.
percentage. Now, granted, there are plenty of college football and basketball players who never sniffed the NFL and the NBA. So it wasn't 100% absolute in that way. But no, it's just I feel disillusioned by it. I suppose would be the best way for me to describe it personally, seeing this play out at Maryland, which is not a mid-major school. To your point, I mean, you labeled it a basketball school. The resources, it is still a really good job, but if you're losing out to your coach leaving to go to Villanova, look, Villanova's a Big East school that doesn't have to share its NIL, right? Because football, the Villanova football is not, it's not a powerhouse or anything like that. It's not a power conference FBS school. So I don't know. It's so disappointing just to just sit here and have this conversation about what should have been, what was one of Maryland's best seasons in the last 20 years. And yet we're talking about the head coach leaving and not having any expectation that, that Rodney Rice is going to be back. I mean, we know Reese and Queen are gone, and Gillespie will most likely be elsewhere. I mean, it's very deflating. The loss is one thing. Again, Florida's better. There's no shame in being a 4 seed losing to a number one seed. But just to go out this way and for all the attention to be on Willard, I mean, people saw the video of, their send-off rally earlier in the day Thursday, and the head coach is getting booed. I mean, it's ugly. Just an ugly scene, and could have been handled better, but just regardless of how it was handled, the end result of your head coach who, three years ago you were hoping this was going to be the next Gary Williams for you, and instead you're now facing the prospects of being late in the hiring cycle, portal already open, no AD, all the NIL issues that Willard brought up are true. Where
What
do
are
you
they going
go
to
from
win?
here?
12 games next year, 10
Well,
games? I
I mean,
mean,
who knows?
you know, but that's this is the kind of program that can't afford that. They can't afford to go into that Oriole hole where they're going to be, you know, a 12-win non-tournament team for 2 or 3 years while the new guy figures it out. To your point, if the new guy's Mr. Moneybags and they have money and they can go out and recruit and throw money at players, but that's a difficult thing to find April 1st for a head coach, right? Villanova thinks they've hired that.
I mean, because even looking at someone like a Tony Skin, for example, I mean, he just got an extension at Mason. So it's where do you go from here? Do you try some kind of a, I don't even know who the rehash would be at this point off the top of my head. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm Mr. College Basketball. Or do you try to go after a very highly touted assistant coach, realizing that 2025, 26 is probably going to be, this next year will probably be pretty ugly. But if you do find a right guy, and it's not like it always has to be the right guy, I always say to you, there's not one answer out there. There's multiple answers, but you got to find one. If they can do that, then they'll be okay. But if not, and something else I said to you, and I don't say this to mean it as a low blow, but in hindsight, this program wasted a decade on Mark Turgeon. And you don't want to hire another Mark Turgeon. And you certainly don't want to hire another Mark Turgeon and stick with them too long, because then this program will be dead as it pertains to national relevancy. So I don't know, man. It's a tough spot, and it's a deflating spot, because I've even said this to you at various times, not so much on the air, but as someone who remembers falling in love with Maryland basketball at age 10, when Joe Smith and Keith Booth arrived on the scene, and Maryland made it to the Sweet 16 and beat UMass, and thinking about where they were at that point in time, and there was always a sense then of, hey, let's take this program to bigger and better heights. But looking back on it, from 1994 through 2003, they made 7 Sweet 16s. And of course, it culminated with back-to-back Final Fours and a national championship in 02. Those were the good old days. Are they ever going to be that again? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have liked to have said, of course they will. Now I don't know about that. The powers that be at Maryland, there's a lot of work to do when it pertains to what's going to happen here with the head coach, the AD, and sorting out NIL and trying to navigate whatever this is without more guardrails being in place, which I think would still behoove the sport very well to have more guardrails in place. But until they do, boy, this wild, wild west atmosphere, it's not fun when you're on the wrong end of it, like Maryland is at the moment.
Well, they tried forever to get Baltimore to be a part of this. I've been on the air 34 years. I go back to Lefty. I go back to Bob Wade and the Georgetown pipeline and all the things that happened here 40 years ago now. And thinking about they finally get this kid from Baltimore who's really special, so special that he only played a freshman year locally, went off to camp for a couple of years, shows up in Maryland for 5 minutes during a year where other players are there and they have no depth. He has his "I'm from Baltimore," you know, moment in the 32, and you know, they wind up getting 30 games out of the best Baltimore kid of this generation, and he's going to go on, and that's kind of part of it too, is it? You win a recruiting battle in Baltimore and you don't win much else. And he's not even around for a long time because he was so good. Queen, I'm talking about.
Yeah, and look, I mean that part's nothing new. I mean, Joe Smith stayed 2 years. We could think back to, I mean, before the one and done rule. I mean, you had high school kids going right to the pros. So
But I'm talking
that's
about from a Baltimore perspective.
oh
That's
sure,
all.
well,
Yeah.
but they've had some other Baltimore kids. I mean, Jolene Reese was a great story, right? I mean, someone who, personally speaking, I didn't find to be very good his first couple years, but got better, stuck by the program at a transition time. Not the same magnitude of Walt Williams staying with Gary Williams. I don't want to
Well, his sister didn't
over-dramatize
stick
it,
around, right? So, yeah.
but stuck around, ended up getting to be on a couple NCAA tournament teams, including a Sweet 16 team. A good story. But yeah, I mean, But 10 years ago it was Diamond Stone, which was, it was shocking that Maryland got a recruit like that. And okay, they made it to a Sweet 16, but then he was gone, right? So there, that's part of it. But yeah, I mean,
But
it's
it's going to
just,
take that. It's going to take Diamond Stones and Derrick Queens to win Sweet 16 games.
yeah, I mean, you are in a mode now where it is just reload, 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 use the portal, use the portal, use the portal. I mean, it's a di way different job than it was when Gary Williams was
It's a pro
roaming the
personnel
sideline.
job, like George Koukinis recruit. You know, looking at who Texas Tech might have that might want to want out. You know,
Yeah,
literally.
I mean, it's just
Yeah.
it's such a different animal. And like I said, without some more guardrails in place, I mean, when you see just the sheer number of players that hit the portal around college basketball, it's why years, decades and decades ago, Marvin Miller and in Major League, the MLB Players Association understood that you don't want everyone to be a free agent every single year. Yet that's kind of what we have with college basketball and football right now. So, we'll see how that plays out. But again, there's so much uncertainty that makes this, what felt like you were hoping was a jumping off point for Kevin Willard, not with this team, because you're going to have turnover and guys were going to leave and all that. But just in terms of for the program to get back to a Sweet 16, you're hoping that, hey, this is the culmination or this is the springboard, the commencement for getting back to that point where you're making it to Sweet 16s with semi-regularity at least. Instead, man, there's, I don't know if doom's the right word, but boy, at best, it's really uncertain, and you feel like you're kind of staring into an abyss of not knowing how this is going to play out and what the future of this program is going to be. Well, because of coach, AD, all of that.
You can find Luke Jones out at Baltimore Luke, or you can find him in Toronto with me this weekend. We're here for Oriole Baseball. We will be at Camden Yards on Monday. One of us will have a press pass. On Wednesday, I will be at Fadley's along with Luke and some other guests. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. It has been an interesting week in Toronto to start the season, as well as the end for the Terps. We're also going to have Liars Luncheon coming up with the Ravens in a couple of weeks as well. You can find all of our work out at Baltimore Positive and, of course, along our social media lines. Luke is at Baltimore Luke. I am pretty much everywhere social media travels. We are in Toronto talking Terps basketball. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.